board. Currently, the amendments that are proposed require a affirmative vote of five members. I think we do need to have a vote on whether it stays at five or whether it moves to a normal majority of four.
Mr. Chairman.
Attorney Kearns.
Question to Senator Bradbury. The one member of the board shall be appointed to represent the public and may be a representative of interest groups concerned with fish resources, fish habitat, or fish conservation. Habitat and conservation understand fish resources. What we're saying is that that the governor could make that person a public member, but would they have association with either of the other two groups?
A lot of people are sport fishermen, okay?
Right.
So that the intent was to not have that public member be a representative of the commercial interests that are laid out. The three members of the board represent commercial troll and kill net and processing. The intent was to not have that member be a commercial representative. Rather, it was to have someone who perhaps fits the bill more of someone from Oregon trout, as an example.
Who could be, in fact, a member of the first class.
First class.
That is to say, three members appointed represent ocean, inland, recreational fish.
And hopefully what we would see is someone whose most essential concern was with the resource and the habitat for the resource, rather than someone who specifically was there either representing a sports fishing organization or a commercial fishing organization.
What would, not just to push the old paranoia meter here a little bit, what would be to, yeah, I know, we had enough of that already. What would keep the governor from reading that and saying, well, hey, public member, I've got somebody here, he's the executive director of a commercial fishing association, and of course they're very much interested in fish resources, fish habitat, and fish conservation in order to create a larger pool of fish from which to catch in the next and succeeding seasons. Is there anything in that language to prevent the governor from making the public member someone affiliated, aligned with, or attuned to the interests of the sports? I mean, the commercial side of the venture, it's not excluded. That's why I asked the question, because I know you
understand.
But the question is whether those words say that or not, and I doubt that they do.
I'm not sure that they do. I'd certainly be open to better words. Basically, the intent is not to say this will be a commercial representative or to be, a real sports advocate, but rather to be someone who's focused on the resource and, that's the intent. I don't know if it speaks to it.
Yeah. Because if you go back to now I'm not switching sides, but I'm getting paranoid myself. If you go to a 4-3 majority as opposed to 5-2 majority, you get to 4-3, and the governor has put a commercial person on there as the public member, somebody affiliated, aligned with, or otherwise identified as representing that half of the user groups, and you've got 4-3, at that point, you might have a civil war on your hand.
Conversely,
you can find yourself in the other circumstances,
yeah, I mean,
with 4-3, with a civil war on your hand. As opposed to having, I don't know, given the fact there are more fishing licenses than there are voter registrations, if you could find a, quote, disinterested public member who has or a disinterested public member without an axe to grind. But wouldn't it work better if you had some poor novice or initiate to put on there who wasn't grinding an axe for either side and had to be captured by one side or the other in order to make it work?
Like the Oliver North jury, right?
Yes, exactly. That kind of person. You see what my problem is, Senator Bradley?
Yeah, I do. I mean,
you don't disagree?
Well, the intent is, I think, you know, all I can say is the only thing that would, the language doesn't say it very clearly, perhaps. I think the intent is the only thing that would govern it.
And the intent is we think that that person is not a commercial fishing interest person. Isn't that right? That's the way
I
read it.
That's certainly what I have always assumed.
Yeah, but it doesn't quite pass the test.
Mr. Chairman, why can't you just insert a period and say member of the public?
That's fine.
Okay. Is that a friendly amendment?
That would be a friendly amendment. That's fine.
Okay.
I'm not sure this does much further, but that's okay.
Senator Bunn.
Do we need to address the period before we can talk about the 4 versus 5 needed for majority?
We're just working around that.
Okay.
Well, kind of working our way there.
Yeah, we're working our way there.
Well, the very concept brought up of if you have 4 people and one of them happens to hold a fishing license, commercial or recreational, the only way to avoid that conflict is to force, by allowing a veto from either side, a compromise to work it out. And that's why I think you've got to go to the 5, unless we want to have 2 separate boards, which is a whole other nightmare that I don't think we want to get into.
Why didn't we think of that earlier?
Just
one.
2 boards, one for the sports side, one for the commercial side, each making their own recommendations.
I'll sign up.
And let's have a hearing for each one of those.
I'm ready to sign up for that one.
And you don't have to vote at all. Just send the commission a list and they fund it.
We'll give them their 20%, we'll take our 80 and go home.
That's
I'm under the assumption we don't want to do that. If that is correct, that we don't want to get into that.
Why not? You suggested it.
Fine. We can come back to that, but on the assumption we don't pick up and go with that, then I don't think it's fair to have a case where even if it's 5% that is paid in and supposed to go to the benefit of the commercial fishermen, or had it been the other way, that the other group has the right to dominate the decision on how that 5% is used. And the only way to have a fair system is where they're forced to work together, especially when the dollars, you're not talking about, when you're dealing with a hatchery, who decides which one is for commercial and which one is for sport fishing? You're into a whole gray area all the time, and the only way to come up with a workable system is to force everybody to work together without one group of 4 running the whole show and the other 3 sit back and say, we wish we would have had some input.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. You're right about having 2 boards. That isn't going to work. Poor Senator Bradbury feels like he's being hazed, but he's not. Because you're right about the public, you have the hatcheries, how do you allocate those? You can't. So you got to have them working together. But that public member, you got to be suspicious now of the public member, where they're coming from in a 4-3 vote.
So if they don't eat fish and they don't catch fish, they're okay.
Get a vegetarian.
That's what we're looking for.
Mr. Chair, I think a couple of points. One is that the language is very clear that the money that flows from the commercial side is to benefit the commercial fleet, and the money that flows from the recreational side is to benefit the recreational angling effort in the state. The issue of, I guess my attitude about it is, as long as you have that protection built in, I become less concerned about a supermajority, in that there is protection in the law that protects both both sides. I put these amendments before you with a supermajority. I haven't quite decided how I'm going to vote on an amendment if it's proposed in terms of a supermajority, because I think we do have a number of protections in this bill for the users. And I would presume that the board and the commission would obey the law. Mm-hmm. So
Sir Kearns.
I would move that the that it be a simple majority of the board.
Okay.
See what happens.
Sir Kearns has moved that a simple majority of the seven-member board determine any recommendation of that board.
Mr. Chairman.
Sir Fabish.
I have a lingering concern about, again, the preponderance of the funds that we're dealing with. If you have a blocking position where that requires a supermajority, then I think you effectively have a situation where you're holding, you potentially could hold hostage the disbursement to satisfy those people who put the majority of that money in. I would feel comfortable in backing off from my concerns about the actual mix on that board if I knew that it was basically a 4-7 simple majority vote, and you wouldn't have that kind of situation. I think that actually gives the commercial side, if you will, still a better position in relation to their contribution than I think I would have considered last week. I mean, I think it leaves them still in an advantageous position of spending other people's money.
Okay. Further discussion on Senator Kearns's motion to adopt the simple majority? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Senator Bradbury.
Aye.
Senator Brenneman.
No.
Senator Benn.
No.
Senator Bobbitt.
Aye.
Senator Karen.
Aye.
Senator Kintai.
No.
Chair Springer.
Aye. Motion's adopted.
I think they ought to have to come up with a consensus.
Okay. The appointment authority.
Mr. Chair, I certainly don't want to make any motions, but there is also the issue of who appoints the board that was raised as an issue. I feel very comfortable with the governor making those appointments. I feel that he or she is the person that can oversee both the commercial and the sport side of the world and make good, fair appointments. I think we've seen that with the STEP committee, and it's worked well, and they've worked well with the commission.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Fabish.
Bill, I guess I'd ask for some linkage here because central to the issue of the appointment power is the question of advisory versus lockstep. And it seems to me a good middle ground that if we do give credence to those concerns about that have been raised here about the lack of response, if you will, by the department or whatever you want to call it, and ask the governor to make those appointments. But I guess I'd be reluctant to then do the next step of also allowing that then semi-autonomous board to an equal footing with the Fish and Game Commission, because then I think we're beginning to move to a dual system. So I'm wondering if what your thoughts are as far as the advisory versus dual participatory role as you've outlined in the the amendments. It may not matter. You may have the votes, but
well, I don't know. I remain a strong supporter of a strong role for the board. I would vote against amendments to make them an advisory committee, and I feel that the most appropriate appointing authority for that committee, just as we have with the STEP advisory committee, is the governor.
Okay.
So I feel particularly that way, given the last decision on the supermajority. I feel like it's essential at that point, once we've eliminated the concerns about gridlock, I feel like it's essential that we maintain the authority of the board.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Kearns.
I don't think we eliminate gridlock, because that goes to the question that Senator Baldwin is asking, and the question of advisory versus co-equal authority, because both the commission and the board have to agree. There's got to be congruity between the two in order for the money to be dispersed. So you can still get gridlock if you get the commission and the board disagreeing. I'm glad I'm not on the commission. And it'd be tough if for some of the members of the commission reading this statute and reading the history of this. But then, of course, they take such a beating anyway. I don't know why they're in there, even there in the first place. The thing that bothers me in this here is that you've got the STEP advisory. The STEP was advisory committee. This is a body where they've got both of them. It's both of them got keys to the lock, and it takes two keys to turn the lock. This is in fact a power sharing arrangement over a portion of the funds coming into the budget of the ODFW. And you know, the governor, I suppose it'd be better to have the governor appoint them than anybody else, but it's still kind of stepping on the toes of the commission. I mean, I'd be a little jerked out of shape if I were a member of the commission and found that the governor was appointing a board that I had to get into agreement with in order to disperse some of this money, as opposed to the STEP advisory committee. So the point is well taken as far as, you know, we haven't gotten away from gridlock yet. There's another question that needs to be addressed there. I have a question for Senator Bradbury. Is there, the governor has to, shall consider is one of the best terms we ever put in the language. He shall consider the recommendations. It doesn't mean he has to do anything with them. You can go out and get other people.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I think that's on its face clear.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, now let me just make sure we're all moving with the same language here. Senator Bradbury, you have accepted as a friendly amendment the deletion there in subparagraph 4, lines
right.
4 and 5, where we've taken out all the language after the comma, inserted a period, and
right.
deleted that. So we've got the your dash 7 amendments as subsequently amended. Are you prepared to make a motion on those dash 7 amendments at this time, or are there other amendments to the dash 7 amendments?
I still have a couple questions.
Go ahead.
Senator Bobish.
Well, have we finished with the governance issue? So the issue on the table in front of us then is that the governor appoints, and there has to be mutual agreement before they move forward. They
That's
tie what? Their legs together, and it's a three-legged sack race down the road.
That's what the amendments propose.
That's what we got now, absent okay. any further amendments.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure that one technical question on section 10 sub 6 on accepting gifts and grants, all money so accepted shall be deposited in the subaccount in section 8, and that's the account that's created from the generation of money from the fees. And how will that money be apportioned between the commercial and the sports? Because what we're into now is we're starting down that long road to divide up the assets, and this is the first cut at it, so I think we better get started.
It's kind of like a trial separation, is
yeah.
what it is.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Bradbury.
The bill does not specify how that money would be divided. That's a good question.
Well, I think
it does specify
do
in terms of the lottery money that we're hoping to receive, but it does not specify in terms of gifts or grants. And I would hope that if someone was in a position to give a gift or a grant, they would be able to direct its use to, you know.
That's great. What if they don't?
But I don't know. I mean, that's a good point. There's no specification in the language.
Well, you could have it dedicated based on the majority of the funds that are in it, have it go proportionally to the amount of money paid into the fund, same as the other proportion.
Same as the lottery.
Yeah.
The Dwayne Lottery.
I would. My only concern, Senator Fubish, would be that we be sure to allow, if someone wants to. I don't have anything specifically in mind, but I want to be sure to be able to allow that a specific group or person could give money for a specific project.
Okay, so
and
they
that
give
could be added to that project.
Okay, and if they give money to that project, and let's just say it's a sports project, it's somebody, we got a benefactor in Bend who wants to help revitalize
right.
the fish hatchery. Does that mean then that the sports sides get the bigger cut of the lottery because that money has gone to the sport, the contribution has gone to the sports side?
Well, I guess I would argue no, but I...
Why? That's not logical.
Well, you sort of set me up nicely, didn't you?
Yes. You said you could set yourself up.
I think that, well, Mr. Chair, I think the issue that's raised by dividing the lottery is the fee effort that's entailed. And that's basically what we're talking about is the fee effort that's entailed, and that's how we're dividing the lottery. If you want to play
a
whole series of games about, well, if somebody else gives this money, we'll have to divide it this way instead of that way, it would get exceptionally complicated when I think if you just keep it on, it's a fee-driven system, I think it's very fair.
Okay, so the understanding is then if the money comes in untagged, it's distributed the same as it's considered to be lottery money. If it comes in designated to a special effort, it is free and clear. It comes in. It's a meteor from the sky that doesn't touch anything else, and it doesn't affect the distribution.
That seems fair to me. I don't know. I mean, I haven't thought it through much, but
okay.
Sounds fair to me.
Next question.
Do we need, Mr. Chair, just one, Senator Fowler, do we need language to make that clearer, or can we just do it through intent?
Well, I think wherever you have the lottery, I think what you might want to do is put a sub 1 on Section 8 and just spell out that money's coming into that fund
other than fees.
Other than dedicated monies from gifts will be proportioned based on the amount of fees paid in.
Okay.
On section 4, dealing, I guess I'm still a little bit perplexed as to why, if we have, what's our total need today? And if I'm not mistaken, the money that we generate from here will only come about two-thirds up over 6 years to fill the need that's out there, right? Was that the figure? Okay. I'm really perplexed as to why then on the commercial side they're already contributing significantly less than the sports side. Why did we cut it? I don't understand that.
My effort, Mr. Chair, was to try to. We appeared before the Trade Committee a week or so ago asking for an appropriation of $2 million lottery dollars to go into the Fishery Enhancement and Restoration Package. Part of the assumption there was that we would reduce fees across the board on one hand by about 25%, and on the other hand increase the total amount in the pot by $1 million, which would get us closer to our goal. That was, and then we've been through some changes since then, where particularly the interest representing sport groups have requested that their fees be raised. I have not heard similar requests from the commercial fleet.
I guess,
Senator Fubish.
Well, I can count, but I'm still tend to be a little bit persistent. I'm still a little bit perplexed that, one, we're not going to meet, even if you meet your lottery expectations, that we're not going to come anywhere close to the real need. I think that's unfortunate. But I'm still also concerned, and I don't know, maybe the department could comment on this if they chose, maybe not, I don't know. But We're looking at the split in dollars with a significant proportion. I think if it's 3-1 is 75% sports and 25% commercial. And I guess I'm curious as to how the direct benefit of that is going to be divided up, because what we've got is a pressing need throughout the system through a number of hatcheries. A number of those hatcheries are both steelhead and salmon, some of which are started upstream inland, much of which is not. And we also have a severe need in our inland trout fishery, and that's clear, that would be a sports activity. And I guess I'm wondering what the mix is going to be and how can the sports folks that I tend to have a large concentration of are going to have some assurance that there's going to be an adequate split of the dollars so that truly 75% of the money paid into this fund will indeed accrue only to the sports side. I guess what my concern is that there's going to we have two groups bundled up to the table with equal voting power. One group brings a bag with 25% of the assets, and the other group brings a bag with 75% of the assets with equal voting powers, and a commission that is now going to be in lockstep with the majority of that board, having to decide who gets what. And I guess my real concern is that this just ain't fair. That you have a situation where you have hundreds of thousands of people paying into this fund, and it's going to be damn hard when it comes out the other end to prove that that smolt was a sports smolt or a commercial smolt. And I just point this out, and then I'm going to shut up, and you can vote and do whatever you want. But I'm just trying to point out the problem that we're starting down on, and you'll revisit it. For those of you who come back in the legislature in succeeding years, you may wonder why we began this split when it's so difficult to try to apportion those. And I might just suggest, and I'll put this prediction in an envelope and we can open it up later, that if we do this, that you will find in probably the 93 biennium that you will have next to nothing as a commercial fishery, because they will be outvoted over the next 2 or 3 biennium consistently, and they will have lost what protections they have. And I would think that would be a real shame also. But I have to watch out for my folks. And my folks are all sports folks. And I've drugged a lot of those people to the table to participate in this. But it's real hard for me to justify them to stay at a table that is this unequal. And I think the people long-term who will not benefit from this will be the commercial folks.
Senator Bradbury.
My original amendment reduced all fees across the board. It was my intent to not treat one group over another in any dissimilar way. I then was besieged with requests from the sports side of the world to raise their fees back up. I was comfortable doing that because the law is very clear that the money will flow in that way. I would prefer to have all the fees. I'd be more than happy to lower the fees back to where we had them, do whatever we need to do. I just, I'm not trying to create an inequity.
Mr. Chairman, I would move we, on lines 19 and 20, that we go back to the original language. And we strike 65 and 74 from the dash 7 amendments and reinsert the original figures.
How much were they? 80 and 99?
What would those original figures be again?
They'd be 90 for salmon troll and 99 for gillnet, which brings both permits to $100.
How about the poundage, Senator Fawbush?
Poundage on the ORACWA folks?
No. The nickel versus 0.037.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. That's and that one too.
Okay. Senator Favish moves that the original language in printed bill line 19, line 20, and line 24 be restored. All clear on the motion?
Mr. Chairman, if there's not a sentiment for it, I'll withdraw it. I don't want to put people on the spot.
Any objections to withdrawing the motion?
No.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Where are we at? Senator Cairns.
I assume the bill is now ready for a motion to send it on its merry way to Ways and Means?
Well, actually, I'm going to ask our counsel to try to give us the language or make sure we understand the conceptual amendment that was proposed to Section 8 as it related to those donated gifts.
Oh, yeah, right. Parsing the gifts to the windfall.
All right, I'd ask you to refer to... Well, we're all working off the hand of gross. I'm working off the dash 7, the true amendment, which is what council will be working off of. But nevertheless, it would just add the monies after the section that talks about gifts, add a new, another sentence. These monies shall be recommended for expenditure by the board in the same manner as in subsection 5 of this section, which is describes how the lottery money will be spent.
Okay.